We are now joined in studio by the leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, TD. Eamon, thank you very much for coming in. Congratulations on the last 8 or 9 days that it's been.
Thank you.
Only 3 months ago you had 2 TDs. Now you could be looking at even more than 2 seats in cabinet. So we'll talk about that and the prospects for entering coalition in just a minute. But before we come to that, can I just get your thoughts on a story that's on the front page of the Sunday Times today? This is about Heather Humphreys delivering a letter to the Department of Agriculture in relation to its prosecution of a farmer in Monaghan who was being pursued for serious animal cruelty charges. It's believed that the letter contained some unfounded allegations around some officials that were involved, and effectively the result of Heather Humphreys delivering that letter, which she says she didn't endorse, she was merely just the postman for it, but that it resulted in the prosecution being dropped. What do you make of it?
I was just reading it initially, my memory goes back to Trevor Sargent, my colleague, who in the time he was a junior minister, resigned from office because he'd done something similar in the sense of passing a letter on in relation to a case. So I think it's very serious. I think that sort of you have, particularly if cases are live, if they're before the courts, and if you are seen to have influenced that one way or the other, then it's quite significant. I think it should be reviewed as to what exactly happened.
What would you like Heather Humphreys to do or to say about it?
I think she has to make a public statement, first of all, explaining why she did it. We have to see what the letter is and the details of what happened with the case.
Okay, let's talk about the possibility of the Green Party entering coalition. I have to say, I mentioned on Twitter only a few minutes ago that you were coming into studio, and I mentioned that you seem to be the prime subject now of the attentions of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in trying to pull together a coalition. And one sentiment that I've gotten back, it's swamping the replies, is the idea that you would be burying your own party, that many people who voted for the Greens wanted to deliver change, and they don't believe that change is delivered or served by returning Fine Gael back into power again.
We would agree that the next government has to bring real change. And I know that's been, word's been used all week and indeed for the last few weeks. But that's our priority. And we met most of the parties last week just for a very initial talk. We said to them what we'd said during the campaign, that we would talk to everyone and that we were specifically interested in the key policy issues where change is needed in climate, in health and in housing. I think people are agreed in that. So what we're going to do is tomorrow we'll send an invitation to Sinn Féin, to Fianna Fáil, to Fine Gael and the Social Democrats and other parties, if they wish to be then further included, to sit down for a day and a half, 2 days with each party in turn, series of bilateral meetings, where we will look at this issue. Okay, let's look and see, be really specific. What is it exactly on climate? How do you, each of the part of the parties say we will agree to the ambitious targets that we have to do. Mm. How do you do it? What's the actual change? And what do we agree on and what do we differ on? Same in housing. Rather than just everyone say, oh, we're 50,000 houses, we're 60,000 houses. To spend time on the specifics, well, exactly where and who would build them and how would you fund it? How would you manage it? Same in health. And then 3 other strands we want to discuss. Firstly is, how do you fund all this? And I think from our perspective, again, we were clear in the election, I don't think all the other priorities promising, oh, we'll cut every tax and we'll raise every public services is viable. So we want to test that. Secondly, what is the All-Ireland, what's the Brexit and what's the European dimension of managing this change? It's critical we get that. We have to look at our, what's happening, particularly on an All-Ireland basis as we make this change. And third, lastly, of the 6 strands we want to talk to is how, as we're improving and changing the way government works and public services are delivered, how do we encourage community development? How do we facilitate that? So what we're going to do, as I said, we'll write to each of the parties asking them for this series of meetings, just bilateral meetings between ourselves and each other party.
But fairly intensive ones in each case, though, if you want
exploratory talks for a day and a half or two.
OK.
We have agreement from the public service, civil service, that they will provide analysis, support, research and in a sense help us think through some of those questions. We've also asked the National Economic and Social Council Secretariat whether they would facilitate it so that it's done in a proper way, where it's a safe space, where it's open, where we're not, you know, it's not big behind closed doors, 3 top people banging the table and who's the biggest, strongest argument. It has to be on basis of real detail. What is it, the specifics that a next government would do? And we think that can be done, hopefully starting after next Thursday when the Dáil reconvenes. The Dáil will probably
that,
not
that's too much
meet.
Of an impediment first, then. You don't believe that the... Obviously, the Dáil is not going to elect a Taoiseach this week, but then that the Dáil is likely to adjourn for a week or two.
Adjourns for 2 weeks. So in that space, what we want to do is to find out in absolute detail what is it is each party wants to actually do.
Okay.
And we talk to all parties on that basis. We don't think it's right that Sinn Féin should be excluded. Their mandate has to be respected, as does the mandate of other parties. That's what we said we'd do in the campaign. That's what we're doing now. And I think that comes first before you get down to any possible coalition talks.
On the topic of discussions with Sinn Féin, I know you've already had some preliminary chats with them for the week just gone. And we were told that they were very cordial and very constructive and very professional. There seems to be a pretty major gulf between you when it would come to the idea of carbon taxes. I mean, you've sat in the studio before and said that it would be your aspiration that carbon taxes should be €80 a tonne. They were only €20 a tonne until a couple of months ago. Sinn Féin doesn't even want them to exist at all. And that would seem like a fairly existential disagreement for a party like the Green Party to have.
And not just on the carbon taxes. They say, as I said, they want to set ambitious climate targets, but there's nothing in the manifesto showing how they'd actually do that. There's no resourcing of the changes you need to make. So that's the detail we want to go down. How do you actually invest in retrofitting houses, particularly social houses, so that those lowest income can be protected from any fuel poverty? How would we do that? How would we change the transport system in specifics down to real detail, not just broad policy? And how would we develop a whole new future for Irish agriculture? Again, we have differences with these parties. Rather than ignoring that, we respectfully say we need to sit down and work. Could we? Is there common ground? What are the differences to see whether it is compatible to working or not? And it's not just about the carbon tax. I would have to say there's a whole range of other. I mean, Sinn Féin's position, which I find hard from a kind of centre-left position, to say we're getting rid of property tax. Oh, and we're expanding our expenditure on public services everywhere, or we're getting rid of effectively of USC, or at the same time we're going to massively expand expenditure in the health system. And I think it's that level of detail in a very safe space where we respect their view, but we seek to find out, well, can you actually, are there actually ways of reconciling what are very clear differences in that case?
And obviously you'd like to be able to bridge those differences, but when we are in the realpolitik of the idea that neither Fine Gael nor Fianna Fáil are prepared to work with Sinn Féin, they basically don't even seem to be prepared to meet with them, and knowing that you will need the collaboration of two of the big three, is it not a little bit of a squandered day and a half or 2 days to be talking to Sinn Féin when it seems that everyone else has deemed them to be toxic and unworthy of government?
No, because we respect the people who voted for Sinn Féin and respect what they had to say. So I think it's important actually that we do that, and that the full services of the state in the civil service been able to provide the independent analysis to help us to do it. I think that's a very healthy thing for us to do. That's what's missing at the moment, actually. Everyone's just shadow boxing around, I won't talk to you, you won't talk to, or we'll only talk to so and so. I think we break that by bringing it back down to core policy issues. And it's not just Sinn Féin, it is the other parties who've indicated that they might want to form a potential government.
What engagement have you had thus far with either of the other two large parties, with Fianna Fáil or with Fine Gael?
The same we've had with Sinn Féin and with...
You've had a kind of a precursor preliminary meeting?
A one-on-one meeting between myself and Mary Lou, myself and Micheál Martin, myself and Leo Varadkar, myself and Catherine Martin, with Catherine Murphy and Roisin Short. So we're due to have a similar meeting with the Socialists tomorrow. And sorry, we had one with Brendan Allen as well. So we've done what we said we'd do, sit down and talk to everyone. Now we want to go to the next stage, which is actually not just a kind of a... So all our parliamentary party will be involved in those six strands, two of them covering each, going into detail. And I think that may take a little bit of time, but it's better to get the broad approach right, first of all. And the approach that we follow is one that we've seen our European colleagues and many governments across Europe have done, particularly where you have multi-party coalitions, where you have three or four parties in coalition. That isn't the old-fashioned way where the big bull elephant comes in and bangs the table, I'm the strongest here, this is the way it's going to be.
This way.
It's on the basis of proper analysis. It's on the basis of independent. We're going to be asking the likes of the ESRI or the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council or the Climate Advisory Council to provide background research papers to help that level of inquiry. Because if the next government is to be a change, whatever its formation should be, and I don't think that's fixed yet, it should be on the basis of the change that's actually deliverable, change that is real. It does have to change housing radically. The climate will force us to make massive changes in transport and agriculture and energy particularly. And health, again, we're broadly agreed on the sort of the direction we need to take.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between that and being going into government where you're specific about where you would actually spend the money and where the money would come from.
I suppose to go back to the original question, though, that I put to you, and this idea of there being a mandate for change and people wanting the idea of politics done a bit differently or delivery done differently. A lot of people would feel like you can't possibly trust either of the larger two parties to deliver that sort of change, particularly if it were Fine Gael, because they've been in power without really any formalised coalition partner other than the Independent Alliance and a few other ministers for the last 4 years. They've had free rein to pursue the housing policy of their choice. So why would they change it now? Just because you guys would be in there with them?
Because there is a clear signal from the electorate that it isn't working, and it isn't. It does have to change. It does. We cannot rely on the market to solve our housing problems. That's agreed. We need the state to step up. We need, and there are some tools that Fine Gael have put in place that we would use, the likes of the Land Development Agency. But to be far more ambitious, to be far more specific, to be far quicker in terms of identifying those state lands that, and indeed potentially private lands that you would CPO and look to develop. And so it is the opportunity in this election to change the way we do housing and climate and health particularly.
But is the more radical output that you want, or the more radical change that you want, not better delivered by having radically different constituent parts in government? Because I have to go back to you that many people just really aren't sure or aren't convinced that having the two established powers who have divvied up power between them for the last 90 years, that either of them is A, delivery of change, or B, empowered to pursue the radical action you need.
Agree. And well, to a certain extent, first of all, it's the electorate decided that. So they elected 160 deputies to the Dáil. And you can't ignore that. Every one of those has a mandate from the people. And we're not ruling options out. We're not ruling. We don't believe we should be ruling out, kind of, you know, saying, oh, categorically can't include Sinn Féin. I said that to Mary Lou. I said it to Micheál Martin and to Leo. I think we should be respectful of the electorate to see what is possible. And I think our role in that, we do have a role because with 12 seats, we're in a very strong position. And also, we, I think, have real expertise around some of the change that we really have to do. Like climate change and biodiversity crisis, addressing that, is the biggest change coming. In the next 5-10 years, it will define and determine so much. And we do have a particular interest and expertise and an urgency around that. So our way of working, and we did it in the last Dáil, we set up the Citizens' Assembly on Climate Change to try and depoliticize this in a way. We also really...
And that resulted in a report, and that resulted in the all-party Oireachtas Committee, and Sinn Féin wouldn't accept the findings.
Which we initiated. Well, they didn't accept the findings on carbon tax. But by and large, there were broad differences on the other elements. But what there wasn't agreement on the scale of actually ambition, and particularly in areas like transport and agriculture. So Sinn Féin, if they're in government, have a real challenge in answering the question, OK, you say you want to do this, but how are you going to do it? And I think our job is to try and test that in the other parties. We'll start that towards the end of next week. It'll probably take about a week. And we'll be in a better position then. And I think that gives other parties space to also talk. And I think that would be a healthy thing.
OK, in terms of transport, there have been and there is currently, and there will probably be more projects which involve the building of roads. And you've made the point here before that there is no major mass public transport system currently in construction, that there only in pre-planning in this country at the moment. Would you want the construction of roads to be reined back in, to be revised, to be scrapped completely, or what would be your best case scenario to approach the plans that are already there?
We couldn't have been clearer during the campaign, often maybe to our cost electorally in some place, to say yes, we do have to scale back the roads programme and scale up the cycling, walking and public transport programme.
So is there a particular road that's at the top of the list that you say just can't be delivered in its current incarnation?
This is why any kind of formation of government talks is going to take a period of time, because you have to spend time going into sort of those sort of level of details. I take one example because it's just, it's a kind of a large one that's prominent at the moment, the widening of the M11 between Wexford and Dublin. It would probably cost 100 up to a billion or more. That billion could deliver a huge improvement in public transport, particularly for those caught now in long distance commuting options who have no choice but to drive and are caught in often 1, 2 or 3 hour commutes every day. And I think that actually, that electorate and this, that issue during the election about particularly young families who find that they're actually stuck in traffic for most of the time when they'd prefer to be with their friends and family, is something that really is a critical issue, has to be addressed. And that requires a change of political direction. Fine Gael, the outgoing government, in my mind, pursued the wrong transport policy. Mm. They have to do a 380-degree turn and go in a completely different way.
But if you're coming at this way, you know, and you don't want to name individual projects, then people will want to know exactly what is the Green Party's own agenda. Because it's all well and good to say we want to discuss each project in a case-by-case basis, but if we don't know what it is that you're going into the talks looking for...
And we've been clear about this again for several years. We want to switch the transport budget. So 10% immediately goes to walking and cycling to start, because they're the quickest gains we could make in terms of each of our cities, particularly, and towns, into really attractive cycling and pedestrian spaces. And you can do that relatively quickly, that because it's not big architecture, it's not big plans.
So secondly, in the
remaining budget, we think it should be 2-1 in favour of public transport versus roads as a way of kind of an indicator, this is the priority, this is what we do first. In the outgoing government, as you said, they have 15 major national projects in planning are being built and not a single public transport project at the same stage. That has to change. And I think the vote for us was a mandate to say, yeah, no, that is one of the key changes you want to see.
And is that then, in as much as there are such things, a red line for you? Is your participation in government absolutely predicated on the idea of some of those projects having to go back to the drawing board and in some cases basically starting from square one all over?
Again, the key red line for us was the climate and biodiversity crisis issue, but it influences everything else. To meet the targets that Europe is saying we'll have to meet now, to meet what the scientists are saying we have to do, that will require us to change transport. That will require us to change agriculture, but it also requires us to do housing and health in a way that's also fit for this future. If we just do housing as a kind of, you know, wherever, just spread it all over, which is what's happening at the moment, and people are stuck in long commutes and it's very resource inefficient, then that would be the wrong housing solution. The climate red line covers every different aspect of government, particularly housing and health, because health and climate are also connected in terms of creating local environments that are healthy for people to live in. It's all connected. And yes, that's a red line for us. There's no point us going to government if we don't actually turn this country green in a fundamental way.
Just by the by, how long do you think that those talks would possibly take, or how long do you think it might go before you'd be in position?
We're saying to each the parties, start with Sinn Féin next Friday and Saturday, Fianna Fáil Monday and Tuesday, the following Monday and Tuesday, Fine Gael the Wednesday and Thursday, and then the Social Democrats on the Friday and Saturday following Saturday. Now, there may be variations in that timetable, but that's what we're going to suggest to them. That's the order in which we've met the parties already. It's the order, the scale of the vote. But I think it's important that we do talk to each. I think there's also important that in any future government, there's a possibility of a social democratic element. We come from a green and social democratic perspective. And I think if there's other parties would change the mind and say, oh no, actually, we think that sort of coalition might be of useful of interest, we should talk to them too. But it is something that we're setting out in practical detail in a proper facilitated manner on very specific answering those six questions.
But my point is, though, that you don't expect to have the bones of a programme for government agreed with any of those parties within 2 days. So how long would it be?
That's just exploratory talks, but it sets the scene. If you are to enter into talks with any of the other parties in negotiations, then you're far better placed to sit down and say, okay, we've already agreed. Here's the points of commonality, here's the points of difference. So that gives you a much firmer and better base to discuss potential government. It's right to do this in an organised, thought out way.
Okay, to go back to the Social Democrats that you mentioned there, though, we've already heard some fairly pessimistic tones coming from them that A, they don't believe that returning Fine Gael to power would be the delivery of change, and they had their meeting with Fianna Fáil and they don't believe that what they heard from Fianna Fáil in the preliminary engagements sounds a lot like change either. So although you might like them to be a participant in that government alongside the other two parties, it seems that they're not particularly willing to be so. So it would be yourselves keeping Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in power. And even while this interview has been going, I'm seeing more tweets from people who feel like that would be a betrayal of the mandate for change. What would be your message
First, just in relation to the Social Democrats, because we met, myself and Catherine, met Roisin and Catherine, and to be honest, we've been working together for the last 3.5 years. We were in a single group.
Technical group together, yeah.
We worked very well together. We got on very well together. And as I said, we would share a lot of views, particularly around this issue about, you know, not just promising tax cuts and increasing public expenditure, similar emphasis on the need to deliver Sláintecare, on better planning models and so on. So we would have a lot of common ground. we had a very good conversation. I don't know what the other parties are saying to each other. I did read what I think Roisin and Catherine Murphy said after the meeting with Fianna Fáil, that it didn't seem like much change like yet. Well, I think that's an absolutely valid point. And I think then the test is to see, well, could we see in ways where we're really certain of real change, the sort of change that the electorate were looking for? And I think that should be the first question to try and answer before ruling out options one way or the other.
Okay. So then when it comes to people who feel like that it will be a betrayal of your mandate for change to end up having the same parties that have dominated for a century back in again, what is your message to those
voters?
It's
true. Listen, we're getting all sorts of messages. We've been flooded during the week. People say, you can't go in with Sinn Féin. And I respectfully disagree, but I understand where people are coming from. Then you have people saying, oh, you can't go in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And again, I understand where they're coming from. But there is also a mandate from the people who voted for us that we are in a climate emergency. We do have to act. We do. This decade is critical. And if you have the potential to actually deliver what would be absolutely clear, transparent, different way of doing things, well, I don't think we should rule it out. I think it'll be up to, like all parties, it'll be up to all members of the parties to decide. That's particularly strong in our case because we need the 2/3 of our members to agree to any possible programme. Mm-hmm. And I think when people in voting for us, I mean, there was a poll today, I didn't see it, but I just saw one headline from it was in the Sunday Business Post that I think the electorate were asking an opinion poll, what would your preferred outcome here?
Yeah.
And having another election, I think, was at the bottom of what people wanted.
Yes, only 15% of people
and
wanted.
And I think that's fair enough. I'm old enough to remember the 1980s, where in that period in the early 80s, we went through a series of governments which couldn't do anything, which, you know, election every 6 months. That didn't serve our people. So you have a certain responsibility if you're elected to public office, particularly by people saying, I'm electing you to actually do something, not just to walk away.
So is it the case then that your outlook is that if you've been elected to do something, it doesn't matter really who the partners are, so long as it's whoever enables you to pursue the change you need?
It does matter, because if they don't fundamentally agree with the basic premise of the change, well, then you have to walk away straight away.
Marilyn McDonald made a public call a few days ago for smaller parties like yourselves and Social Democrats not to enter government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Did she say that to you in person as well?
No. And I suppose one thing I'd say that, and I didn't see the full interview, so I have to be careful.
It was a pretty short line. She said, my advice would be don't do it.
But I suppose Mary Lou is the difficult position because she's also, in my mind, rightly saying that she wants to go in with Fianna Fáil. And so I suppose if she's saying that, and I fully understand and accept and tend to, you know, think she's absolutely right in saying that, it's hard then to turn around the next minute and say to another party, oh, we want to, but you can't. Mm. I don't see the political sense in that.
A final question then. If you were to be a participant in the next coalition government, irrespective of who the other partners are, is there a particular cabinet brief that you'd have eyed up for yourselves and for other members of the party? One assumes that communications where you were before, now that it has climate action, is somewhere you'd like to be.
No, first things first, those six strands we've set out are what we're asking. How do we deliver real change in climate and housing and health? How do we fund it? What's the All-Ireland and Brexit dimension to it? And last but not least, how do we build strong communities as we do this? If we can find with other parties a way to answer those questions in a way that works, that's the critical thing. It's only then you start thinking about further down the line about cabinet positions or anything else.
Okay. And you need 2/3 of your members to approve any entry. And that Ordesh then, or that special conference, would be a few weeks after you've patched together your deal.
And this will probably take, Gavin, no matter what, the experience from other European colleagues, particularly when you're in multi-party coalition arrangements, which is where we are now, we're breaking away from the norm, big party, small party. That's no more, thankfully, in my mind. The experience we see in other countries, and we have to be we have to be careful about timing this, but it takes several weeks. It's not several days. That's an opportunity to get the change right, and we shouldn't miss that opportunity if we can.
Green Party leader Eamon Ryan and TD for Dublin Bay South, thanks very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.